This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
University of Missouri Extension entomologist Wayne Bailey suggests producers scout alfalfa fields often for weevils, according to Drovers. Bailey says small weevils are easy to miss and can expand rapidly and do lots of damage. He says cold weather this year has created a problem with controlling the alfalfa weevil, as there are more adult weevils this year than he has ever seen in 29 years of scouting. Instead of below-zero weather killing overwintering adults, he says weevils seemed to just dig deeper into the ground and hibernate. Bailey says growers should prepare for spraying. With ground applicators, Bailey suggests applying mixes with 20 gallons of water per acre. Aerial applicators should apply as much as they can carry. Growers could also cut near-mature alfalfa for hay, but Bailey says haying allows weevils to concentrate on regrowth from alfalfa stubble, so spraying will probably be needed after the first cutting to control weevils. The delayed start to the corn planting season has some of the industry wondering about the price of the commodity. Todd Gleason has more on the number of corn acres farmers might sow this season and the impact of the weather.
Farmers are a little worried about the slow start to the growing season in the Corn Belt. It's not exactly late yet, but it will feel like that in another 2 weeks, as some have begun to discuss the idea farmers may swap out corn acres for later planted crops like soybeans. And that's not likely for some very good reasons, thinks University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good, starting with yield.
The yield penalty for late planting is small over a wide range of planting dates, and then generally becomes steeper as planting dates become later. For major corn-producing states, the yield penalty tends to become steeper for planting dates sometime after mid-May. Some indication of the potential acreage response if planting delays continue this year may be provided by acreage responses in previous years of late planting. The magnitude of late planting is generally defined as the percent of the crop planted after a certain date, as revealed in the USDA's weekly crop progress report. We have defined late planting as occurring after May 30th, before 1986, and after May 20th, since 1986.
Over, roughly speaking, the last two decades, an amount equal to or greater than 20% of the corn has been planted in the United States after May 20th, 7 times. Fewer corn acres than expected in the March prospective plantings report were sown in 6 of those 7 years. However, the difference in 5 of those 6 years in the expected number of planted corn acres and the actual figure was, in Darrell Good's words, extremely small. The outlying years are relatively recent.
Acreage was 1.9 million less than March intentions in 2013, and oddly exceeded March intentions by 1.4 million acres in 2009. In general, acreage response to late corn planting since 1996 has been smaller than anticipated, with meaningful differences, but in opposite directions, in only 2 years. In addition to the timeliness of planting, acreage decisions might be influenced by a change in the relationship of the prices of corn and competing crops. That is, more corn acres might be planted after the date for optimum yields if corn prices increase enough relative to other crops to offset the potential yield penalty.
The price of corn, as of the second day of May, had not changed enough in comparison to soybeans to cause a switch. An unchanged price ratio between those two crops after May 20th, says Darrell Good, however, might cause a switch, and it would not be an increase in corn acres.
Without a more favorable corn price response, however, it would not be surprising for acreage to fall short of intentions, particularly in northern growing areas. Yield prospects, on the other hand, will be up in the air until later in the season.
Summer weather has a much larger impact on corn yields than any other single factor. You can read Darrell Good's thoughts on the marketplace each and every Monday on the Farm Doc Daily website. I'm Todd Gleason.
The 2012 Census of Agriculture was released around 11 o'clock today. USDA reports record sales moderated by rising expenses, agriculture getting increasingly diverse, farming and marketing prices changing. There are now 3.2 million farmers operating 2.1 million farms on 914.5 million acres of farmland across the United States, according to the census. The agriculture census presents more than 6 million pieces of information, which provide a detailed look at the U.S. farm sector at the national, state, and county levels. At the national level, 3/4 of all farms had sales of less than $50,000, producing only 3% of total value of farm products sold, while those with sales of more than $1 million, 4% of all farms, produced 66% of the total value of farm products sold. 87% of all U.S. farms are operated by families or individuals. Young, beginning principal operators who reported their primary occupation as farming increased 11.3% from over 36,000 to just over 40,000 between 2007 and 2012. Corn and soybean acres topped 50% of all harvested acres for the first time. The largest category of operations was beef cattle, with over 600,000, or 29%, of all farms and ranches in 2012 specializing in cattle. One of the great things about this census is that it can be broken down to a county level. For instance, for Montgomery County, the total farms in the county have decreased from 2007, but not by much. In 2007, the total farms numbered 1,029. In 2012, 1,021. The amount of land in these 1,021 farms numbered over 382,000 acres. The average size of a farm was 375 acres. The median size of a farm was 110 acres. There were 58 farms in the county that had 1 to 9 acres and 115 farms that had over 1,000. The total cropland in the county numbered over 346,000 acres. And the harvested acres numbered about 332,000. Total farm expenses have risen about $80,000 per farm from 2007. Luckily, the average net income for farms also increased. Links to the PDFs of county breakdowns will be posted to our Facebook page today. For more information on your county, you can visit WSMI on Facebook. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is now accepting applications for new conservation initiatives developed in the 2014 Farm Bill. The new programs, the Agricultural Conservation Easements Program and Voluntary Public Access and Habitat Incentive Program, will provide up to $386 million to help farmers restore wetlands, protect working ag lands, support outdoor recreation activities, and boost the economy. Applications for ACEP funding must be submitted by the individual state deadline or June 6th, whichever comes first. You can visit www.nrcs.usda.gov/get-started for more information. Applications for VPA HIP are due by June 16th and should be completed at grants.gov. The Hard Red Winter Wheat Crop Tour was held this week, primarily in Kansas. Tim Bartman is Oklahoma Wheat Growers Association Executive Director and was driving one of the tour routes with several team members. He says the wheat yield potential deteriorated on the tour's second day.
Even over to the largest wheat producing areas there around Wichita, it was a pretty sobering day, and hearing from the folks that have been around this a long time, realizing that this probably the worst crop they've seen on this tour in many, many of years.
In Oklahoma, reporters estimate the crop at 70.5 million bushels. Private crop consultant Dale Fain was a tour moderator.
Well, as a whole, it's not good. Now, you know, eastern Oklahoma definitely has had some rains, and that part of the country is certainly doing much better. But where the wheat is grown mostly from central to western Oklahoma, it's pretty bad. It goes from fair to poor to none. And this is likely to be the poorest crop year that we've experienced in those 40 years that we've had this meeting.
The tour ended on Thursday. The Southern Illinois Wheat Tour will be held May 28th. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.